You ready?
Okay. Call to order meeting of the Arts Advisory Committee on August 15, 2018 at 7:02. Will you call the roll, please?
Committee member Batchelor, committee member Ford,
here.
Committee member McCoy, committee member Owens,
here.
Committee member Shastry, committee member Tui,
here.
Committee member Vahelia,
here.
Thank you.
Okay, do I see a special item across the table from you?
Special items and announcements. So at the last teen council meeting, or the very first teen council meeting, is that right? Which was what, a couple of days ago? A few days ago?
Oh,
okay.
Ish.
All right. We very luckily were appointed a new liaison from the teen council and an alternate liaison. So I will let you introduce yourself. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vadima. I'm a senior at California High School. And this is my first year in teen council, and I'm very lucky to be serving as a liaison for the Arts Advisory Committee. This is something that I also am really fond of, so I'm very happy to be here, and I will love to attend all the meetings this year, and I look really forward to being here.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
you very much for being here. We hope you find it rewarding, not just a way to avoid TV. let's see, public comment or written communications. Do you have any written communications?
I do not.
No, okay. Next up is item 5.1, the approval of the minutes of July 18. I hope everyone has had an opportunity to review the minutes of that meeting. Those were here at the time. And if no one has any additions or deletions or corrections, I'll accept an
I move the meetings from the July, whatever, 15th was it?
July
18th. I knew it couldn't be the 15th. July 18th meeting be accepted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Second. Moved and seconded. Gary and Christina seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No. That was premature acceptance on everybody's behalf.
We just have to keep it clean for the record.
I forgot your recording. I retract that statement. There was nobody else smiled or laughed. That was Gary Ford. He was guilty of it. He put his foot in his mouth. Duly retracted.
We have to be very careful in this world.
I got it. She forewarned me. Marianne forewarned me. It's recorded. From this point forward, it will be exceedingly clean.
No, I was just saying for the seconding and all of that, we have to get it clean for the recording.
Next up, item 6.1, committee business, 2018 Public Art Network Year in Review video presentation.
All right, so this is simply it's a really long video it's a really long presentation. We're going to go through just the first part of it quickly. You can ask questions. It's just, we are members of the Americans for the Arts. It's a national organization. It does everything from public art, arts advocacy, arts marketing. It serves as a clearinghouse for artists to visit and to find out about things that they can work on. It's all types of art, public art, performance, everything. So we belong and as members, and as one of the things that they do every year is they jury public art. So it's a submission process. You submit your piece of public art, and it's a contest. There's no prize, but it is juried by a board of folks associated with this branch of art, Americans for the Arts, which is called PAN, the Public Art Network. So we looked at it, we glanced at it last year. I like to look at it every year to do the pieces of public art that are, they have categories of public art divided up by cost, how much it costs to do the piece. Because obviously they don't want people like that have a lot of money competing with smaller cities or smaller entities that don't. So it's all broken out by amount, by the budget of the piece. So we will go through just the first category, which is items that are, I believe, $50,000 and under. So that's within our scope, because as you may remember, we typically have about $40,000 every couple of years that's placed into a fund that we have the ability to use for pieces of public art. So sometimes they're a little bit more. We find other sources of funding, i.e. the Eagle, which will be happening in the next year or two, depending upon that particular park and when it gets fully developed. And then the library art piece coming soon. And actually, there's going to be a change. You may hear a little bit about it tonight. If I'm not sure if Mr. Dorlick will come, but if not, we will get information to you when it does go to council. But there is a fee resolution, a fee structure that's going to be going to the city council for approval that will change the way developer fees and, you know, building permit fees are, how they're collected and what they're then used for. Instead of public art pieces currently are, if it's a private developer with a new development in the city of San Ramon, they're required to put in a piece of public art. And that's why as you were going through your surveys, you found a lot of public art in private locations, in shopping centers, strip malls, those kinds of things. Because every time those things were built, they were required to put in a piece of public art. So that if the council approves, that funding mechanism is going to change, and there are going to be fees collected. It will go into a larger fund, then that will be able to be used for a lot of things, including public art, and we'll be able to place public art in places where the public can see them. Was it you, Jenna, who...
Chevron.
Yeah, and there was a piece... was it off of Crow Canyon, or who did that one? Was it you, Donna? The one that we were just talking about, the piece that was in the developers? Is it a contractor or a developer? It's a piece that's behind in a, might have been, maybe it was Nina.
Yeah, I think
it was. It was behind a courtyard. So those kinds of things won't be taking place in the future. So we'll be able to put public art where this committee has designated we want public art, and that's basically eligible to be in all of our parks. And future
parks.
That was
actually something I was thinking about this last month, because a couple of the places I went were fountains.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That are turned off on weekends.
Right. Exactly.
The public might be more likely to go enjoy them. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we'll be getting some information to you regarding that when and if the council approves it. It's due to go to the city council if you are interested at the last meeting of this month, I believe it'll be on the agenda. So anyway, with regards to public art, these are the ones that rose to the top as rated by the Public Art Network. So this is, again, projects submitted from across the country and across the globe, juried by two or more public art professionals. It's the only national program that specifically recognizes public art projects. And again, you can get more information at Americans for the Arts. Here's your jury. Over 200 applicants, 49 projects were selected. So this is for budgets under $51,000. And I have a description because the presentation gives just pictures. So I actually have a description of some of the items. So this is called the Fluid, and this was done for $3,500. I thought it was pretty impressive, $3,500. It's a series of animations created by a Brooklyn-based interdisciplinary artist based on the cycle of paintings, The Course of Empire, by Hudson River School painter Thomas Cole. So it's a stylized depiction of landscapes. It is in a transit system public space.
Does it say whether those are screens that it's actually projecting? Because you said it's animated. That's what it looks like.
The 52-channel animation will air simultaneously for 2 minutes at the top of each hour throughout the day. Will be on view in the Fulton Center through the spring. But, yeah, so yeah, it's an electronic video presentation. Yeah. But apparently they did the whole thing for $3,500, which I was pretty amazed. I thought it was pretty cool. Because it's big and it's very impactful.
So, yeah, for those who sign up, and you can sign up, and all you get is emails, but you get their stuff from time to time. This is a really humbling experience when you see what some communities pay annually for public art.
Yeah, we won't go to the $500,000.
Pays in the millions every year.
Yeah, we won't go into those categories.
It's a humbling experience.
But you can certainly view the entire presentation if you really want to be either inspired or disappointed. I'm not sure which. But there are some pretty cool projects here that are pretty reasonable, and it's just for you to maybe kind of think outside of the box on things you might want to see in the future. Okay, so this again is still the fluid. And you can see all of the different... okay, that's an embedded video. It's not going to work. Okay. All right, so this one is Palo Alto. So very close. This is the City of Palo Alto Public Art Commission. This was done with a grant by the National Endowment for the Arts. And this was a pop-up project in a plaza, public space. It's temporary. Budget of $4,000. It's electronic and sound. It's called Safe and Sound, and it's a dynamic participatory-based music installation that animated King Plaza in downtown Palo Alto during a 3-day media public art festival. So passerby sit down in one of 8 chairs, each of which was connected to a track of music, which triggered when someone sat in the chair. So depending upon how many people sat in the chair, the music was different every time. If all of the chairs were filled, it instantly became a very full track of music, an entire, it doesn't say what kind of music that they played. But if only a couple of people sat in the chair, then it was different. And you see people kind of getting into the beat, and she may have been the person on the drums or something, and she kind of got into playing it, but it was really interactive. And people really got into it as a group and connected. The temporary project included 2 daily choreographed performances with volunteers from the public, led by the artist. So depending upon how many people were sitting in the chair, they actually could almost compose different pieces of music. And again, this was a temporary project done for $4,000 in Palo Alto. The video does not connect well, so we're not even going to try it. But I would encourage you, if you want to, you can go on and look at the whole presentation. Street Talk. This, again, is the City of Palo Alto. This was, a temporary mixed-media mural, a participatory installation of community comments and drawings on the future of Palo Alto. So this is pretty interesting in that the City of San Ramon we are beginning the process of working on our master plan. So some of you, I think I mentioned before, might be contacted and asked to provide information or sit in a group regarding the master plan. And I thought this was just a really, really, really cool idea that actually at one of these focus groups, they might even be able to put something like this together. So the responses became a meaningful conversation rooted in the intersection of thoughts. There were different categories, and the people were asked to share their input on the following 6 main categories. And this again is in regards to the future of the City of Palo Alto. They had very broad themes of regulate, move, beautify, build, play, and trade. The final piece stood as an information tree and an unpredictable collective artwork in its own right. 3-day on-site installation. And they had these little chairs that people could sit down. Kids participated, adults participated, but it turned into kind of a really cool piece of art.
But only 3 days.
Three days, yeah.
That's what you get for $4,000.
I'm not sure. I think they spent $4,000 on the chairs and everything. All right, so this is Denver Arts and Venues. This is the public art program in Denver called Ascent. The Denver Arts and Venues Public Art Program commissioned an original musical composition from Denver composer Kevin Podworski. The composition is played on the Denver City and County Buildings 10 Bell Chime. This is permanent. So we've seen several things done with sound. I don't have the sound, unfortunately. We don't have good enough internet that it'll play regular. It'll play consistently here. But so far, several installations that are sound related, which is different. I'm not sure if we've ever talked about anything like that with this group, and maybe having something that would be sound related. Hi, Mo. This again is Denver. This is a permanent mural on a school. $10,000 was the cost. The Urban Arts Fund was initiated as a graffiti prevention program, and then it was expanded to develop programming partnership that focused on community building and social change. So here we have a mural of a school. Okay, this is Houston, Texas. This is called Sharp. It was privately funded. It is a temporary installation of light and wood. This was... They obtained a fire-damaged house located in a middle-income Houston neighborhood called Sharpstown. From Seeds of Sharpstown, an organization that collaborates with artists to host creative events using houses slated for redevelopment. Responding to the sleek, pointed design of the mid-century house, they altered the original house shape picture window of the facade to create a sharp-edged sculptural void that narrows as it travels 30 feet before puncturing the back wall. $10,000. So this was something that they created out of a house that was going to be destroyed, that was going to be leveled.
And did you say this is a temporary installation?
Yeah, because the house is going to be leveled.
They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting to have the, the foresight to do something like that, to put something together from this house that was going to be leveled anyway.
But the value of real estate here in San Ramon, not to mean you're being destroyed. Raised and built on the land, maybe.
Yeah.
Houston, totally different market.
Totally different market. All right, so this is the city of West Hollywood. This was a public grant. Temporary, again, installation. Which is something that we haven't really done here in San Ramon. So again, getting those creative juices flowing here. We have a lot of temporary installations. $10,000, this is an electronics mixed media mural and video. City of West Hollywood commissioned 3 artists to create artworks to illustrate data collected during the WeHo Arts. This was during a festival, I believe. The project explores an expanded definition of data visualization by utilizing a performative object, a 5.5 foot red weather balloon to engage youth in creating a democratic cultural production of art in public spaces. So two temporary murals and a one-day balloon sculpture. Here are the murals. All right. This again is the city, that's a different one. Sorry. That's the data visualization one. That's still it.
If you know anything about West Hollywood, it's exceedingly artistic.
Yes, it is. And it was very, everywhere. This was very, some of this was very, very creative. Uh-huh. All right. This is Harbor Light Mural. This is Minneapolis. This was a community center performing arts space. This is a permanent structure with a budget of $12,000. Or permanent installation, I should say. Painting and sound. Here again is sound. We have a lot of things that incorporated sound and music. Hennepin Avenue between 5th and 10th Street is a place where Minnesotans from diverse cultures and backgrounds converge on a regular basis. With our three historic theaters, the Trust attracts 600,000 people to the area each year. There are little to no daytime activities provided to shelter seekers, and many of them flock to the central library where they have social workers. So I believe that's why they wanted to put this out there for people that were kind of hanging out, I guess, in the downtown and to improve their area and decrease crime.
This is New Mexico.
Yeah, these guys provided three pages of descriptions. This one is called Time, Temporary Installation Made for the Environment, New Mexico, in Edgewood, New Mexico. It's a community center, highway, library, municipal site, park space. Temporary installation, again, $15,000. Concrete, masonry, electronics, here we go again, more music and sound or visuals. Each year, New Mexico Arts partners with the local community to commission up to 10 temporary, visually engaging, and conceptually rich environmental artworks to be displayed for a short-term exhibition in that community. So they do this every year. The artworks relate to a designated theme, and New Mexico Arts challenges artists to create environmental pieces that inspire, question, engage, and otherwise influence the citizens of and visitors to the host community. So this is a yearly in Denver. These temporary pieces. Social Seed is Winnipeg, Canada. Was done at a community center. This is a permanent installation, $17,000, and this was done with found and recycled objects, mixed media, mural, painting, textile, and fiber arts. Western Canada's first community food center opened in Winnipeg's Inkster neighborhood. They chose an artist to partner with to create a community public art project through the Arts Council. They explored different artistic techniques and generated ideas for collaborative artwork. So they had people sign up for free classes, and they used the people in the classes to create the artwork. Community members met weekly to paint in the food center. At that time, they were surrounded by cooking classes, community lunches, Zumba classes. Together, they painted 119 textile-covered ceramic tiles to create a 7-foot by 17-foot mural, now permanently installed inside the center. This is kind of similar to the piece in the video last month, where it was a collaborative piece, and they brought people together in in the community centers to create the piece of art that would be installed.
Can we stop there for a second?
Of course, yeah.
So this would be very interesting. I mean, it would plagiarize the heck out of it and copy it, but it'd be very interesting to almost any community, have people all come together, take, you know, remnants of stuff and or pieces of that, and have people paint them and then create a mural. And then it would be there forever. I mean, that's a really wonderful, not only participatory thing.
Exactly.
You know, you buy into it, but it's actually pretty cool. Looks like a map of a city done, you know, artistically or something. But
the imagery is based on a map of the neighborhood from the early 1970s when the co-op was first formed. So they had, they don't say whether they hired an artist, but they had this artist, commissioned her, hired her, or I don't know if she donated her time, they don't go into that much detail, but she facilitated the whole thing, and then they brought people in and they did it together as a community, which again is something that we've never done.
But those parks also have similar things, right, where you have these different tiles that were made by kids or...
Yeah, we have a couple of places where they were made by children in a classroom. We've never done anything where we've had people come like to a center and be have a facilitator like an artist.
I mean, it could be not only curated, facilitated, it could be done over a period of time, you know, in an amount of weeks or whatever. We have gotten, is evidenced by this committee here, we've gotten more ethnically diverse, which is wonderful in San Ramon than it's ever been. Those that don't know history, this is white suburbia in its day, you know, and it's nice that we have all the culture now. It would be great to have people come together and do something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's my food for thought.
Yeah, no, that's what we're here for, is for you guys to think about this and discuss this and think of ideas and things you may want to do in the future. Yeah, there you go, there's your map. All right, everything at once. This was Boulder, Colorado. This was done in a vacant lot. This is a temporary pop-up. $20,000, concrete or masonry, metal, mixed media, and wood. Let's see. The description is, living during the longest war the United States has participated in and rethinking uses for its infrastructure as an act of reconciliation is the driver for Mary Mattingly's Everything at Once. What do farming, industry, and even education share with the military? What are the connections between military action and material extraction? How do we understand the bigger system? There's the artist. This was commissioned through the City of Boulder Office of Arts and Culture. Experiments in Public Art, an ongoing series of projects that serve as a citywide laboratory expanding the potential of public art. Time and place. City of Alexandria, Virginia. This is, again, a temporary photography exhibition. This is the first in a series of periodic curated exhibitions of temporary public art located in the city's historic sites and museums. For time and place, the finest amenities, Sheldon Scott created both an immersive performance artwork and a supporting exhibition of ephemera from the performance, using the history of the harvesting of ice from the Potomac River and the storage and use of ice at Gatsby's as a starting point. Scott's work examines the relationship between race, class, environment, luxury, and consumption by interrogating the process related to the use of Gatsby's ice well. Okay, so that's a little out there.
Yeah, I would say.
But it's very participatory and interesting. Okay. On the Threshold, this is Philadelphia, 22,759, so just under $23,000, masonry and metal. This is, again, a temporary. We have a lot of temporary pieces. On the threshold, the Salvage Stoops, Philadelphia, is a monument to a beloved symbol of a Philadelphian neighborhood culture, the stoop or steps, as it's known in South Philly. So you sit on the stoop of the step outside your, for those of you who have been to South Philly, you sit on the stoop of the step. Over 6 months, the artist collected marble, concrete, and brick from recently demolished buildings. Again, not what we have a lot of in San Ramon. And then the stoop material was reconstructed on site using historical and traditional masonry techniques. And it encouraged people to sit and have a dialogue.
There, it used like park benches there.
Yeah.
I was just there, I didn't see that.
Well, it was temporary.
The row house is there.
It was temporary. You could have missed it. That's true.
Remember the movie Rocky?
Yes.
Well, yeah, row houses.
Well, row houses.
Temporary prototype monuments by 20 artists were installed across 10 sites.
That's kind of neat. It encourages people to sit.
Rustician. City of Montevideo.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Not
Here's
Montevideo. Montevideo. $24,000 permanent structure. This is from found and recycled objects, glass, and light. The whimsical montage consists of a 1920s era McCormick Deering, wait a minute, are we on the right one? Is a McCormick Deering tractor? Am I missing that? Wait a minute. Oh, it's a 1920s era McCormick Deering tractor bedecked with original backlit stained glass in the artist's signature style.
Wow. They just haven't shown the tractor.
I want to see the whole tractor. There it is! Now that is cool.
Now that's Minnesota.
That could be San Ramon. We have tractors.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of tractors.
Put
that's pretty
in front
cool.
Of the tractor barn.
Wow, can you see that at the farm? Isn't that fascinating? I love that. Yeah, this is pretty cool. The farmer has always been a land bridge between the urban and the natural worlds. So that was their theme. Oh, I love that. That's kind of cool.
It's good to hit a picture of it during daylight. Cause
right, so you could actually see the stained glass. That's beautiful. All right, time and place. Centennial of the Everyday. This is, again, Alexandria, Virginia. This is a temporary installation, $25,000, ceramic electronics, mixed media, painting, da-da-da. This is the first in a series of periodic curated exhibitions of temporary public art. Again, this is more of that series of temporary public art located in the city's historic sites and museums. They focused on the idea of the tavern as being a place for convergence.
Convergence.
And they conducted extensive research, it says, traveling to other locations with ties to Gadsby's Tavern, reaching out to people who have connections with the museum. So these are particular to this museum. See Her. This was privately funded at just under $28,000. This is Boston, yeah. Mixed media mural painting paper. See Her is a temporary mixed media mural conceived by artist and activist Ann Lewis. Four-story mural features neon pink paint and a wheat pasted image of a black woman. The woman is Laura. She's a convicted felon who at the time of installation was housed in a correctional facility less than half a mile away. To develop See Her, this organization called Now Plus There connected the artist, a passionate activist for criminal justice reform, with McGrath House, a reentry facility. Run by a nonprofit, where incarcerated women serve their final 6 months of prison sentences. Martin Luther King Jr. Recuperative Care Center Project, Los Angeles County. This is a permanent installation in a hospital at just under $34,000, painting and paper. Through the Los Angeles County Arts Commission Civic Art Program, artist Sandy Rodriguez loaned 26 artworks for display in the Recuperative Care Center at the hospital. The staff fully participated and learned techniques that could be integrated into future programs developed in-house, so it was a collaborative effort to teach participants about the world of watercolors and pigments and how they were made. Far from the setting in which I now find myself is Boston. Again, this is in a garden, park, public space. $40,000, a temporary installation, metal, painting, and wood. It's a sculpture. It's called Ames Room, a three-walled trapezoidal room built with a false perspective. So this particular artist's sculptures and installations depend on the viewer's interaction. It is only through an active process of looking through a peephole that a piece becomes complete. In this artwork, both viewer and participant become part of the installation, and the sculpture itself becomes a stage for their actions.
Leaning Tower of Pisa concept.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Very.
Let's see, are we on? Denver. Sky Song. Here we are in Denver. A $40,000 permanent installation in a plaza of a performing art center. It's an interactive art installation called Sky Song, situated at a concert venue. The artwork enhances the visitor experience by allowing them to create their own sound and light performance. Conceptually and formally, the work connects the earth to the sky. The mirror-polished stainless steel 8-foot sculpture invites passerbys to press any combination of its 33 buttons, which activate lights and sound on the secondary stainless steel sculpture on the facade of the pavilion amphitheater. There you go. That's neat. Spaces of Hope. This is Boston. Again, this was done with private money. $40,000 temporary installation in a, I think it says garden / public space vacant lot. They commissioned a temporary installation on the Greenway 70-foot by 76 air ventilation intake structure. This is an Iranian artist. What about they did it as temporary?
Might have something to do with the structure itself.
Yeah, it doesn't say. It seemed like that could have been a permanent. It's very visual.
Maybe it's going to wash away.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It doesn't talk about that. Well, the series, you walk up through a series of platforms and staircases that eventually spirals like a helix toward an opening in the dome. Oh, okay, so there at the very top, a red balloon hovers and waits, suspended in midair. I guess getting people access to it probably was temporary. This is If They Should Ask. This is in Philadelphia, in a park. Just under $50,000, a temporary metal, plastic, and masonry piece. In a city boasting hundreds of monuments to historic figures, there are only two dedicated to women. Jeanne d'Arc, and Bostonian Quaker Mary Dyer. To address the absence of women in public monuments in the city, Sharon Hayes' sculpture, If They Should Ask, marks a long line of Philadelphia women from the 1600s to present day. Temporary, let's see, they didn't say how long it was up for. This is The Battle Is Joined, Philadelphia. Again, temporary, just under $50,000, metal, plastic, and wood. The Battle Is Joined is a mirrored remix of the Battle of Germantown Memorial, a 20-foot high commemorative structure dedicated to a Revolutionary War skirmish between American and British troops in 1777. The artist built a temporary acrylic mirror to encase the monument as a way to bring people closer to one another, their surroundings, and their living history. Huh, that's interesting. So they took something that was already there and just adapted it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's different.
Oh, that's what it monument originally looks like.
Yeah. This was all part of the series of these temporary art pieces that were installed across 10 sites in Philadelphia. All right, that was it. So obviously those were just the pieces that were within kind of our budget range, but you can go to the website anytime and look at the full presentation if you like. There's some really incredible pieces, and yeah, some really, really big, big budget items as well, but they're all really inspiring, and I think a lot of them are really, really unique, and hopefully will give you all things to think about the next time you're looking at putting a piece of public art and making decisions regarding public art in the city of San Ramon. Was it for that?
Okay, moving on to item 7.1, staff member items, 2018-19 SRPA season schedule.
So in your packet, you received the season schedule for the San Ramon Performing Arts. What I included in your packet is basically just the kind of raw summary of what's going to be happening at the public art, at our performing art venues with the upcoming season. The brochure itself is due to be printed within the next couple of weeks, so I'll have some nice brochures for you shortly that you can help to distribute, and we'll be getting out to the public.
And
so,
the
oh yeah, this is probably just a cut and paste.
Centers. Okay, because it says November's 2017.
Oh, yeah. This is just this was a cut and paste from the raw information. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Believe me, the actual final brochure is a beautiful, glossy brochure that goes through many, 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 many revisions. So this was just informational purposes for you guys, so you knew who was going to be headlining at the SRPA this coming season. And you can see the schedule is pretty exciting. We're going to be opening on October with the Romantics. So late 70s, early 80s. It's going to be a whole 80s night because I believe they've got they're having an opening. I don't have it here. Do you remember who was opening
Tommy
for?
Two-tone.
Tommy Two Tone. That was it. So it's going to be an 80s night. The 10 Tenors in November. Illuminate in March. I guess they that particular group not too long ago was on America's Got Talent. Is that it? Okay. In the spring, Blue Oyster Cult will be coming in March, and Billy Ocean also. So that's the main series that'll be happening at the Performing Arts Center. And then I have the list of the Friday Foreign Film Series, and we'll be offering that again as a series. You can purchase individual tickets, or you can purchase all six at a discount, and those are the films that are listed there. We're kicking off our children's performances, Bedtime Theater, in October with Pete G. Magic. So these are for the youngsters, the very young children, and their parents come in their PJs, have cookies and milk, and get to see a performance here at the community center. We also have then our in-house performance groups. We have Lady K and the King of Swings, and she'll be doing three shows, one of which will be at the Front Row Theater. So that is a show. The other two are participatory, and we get a large group of people that come and ballroom dance for both of those events, so they're a lot of fun. The San Ramon Symphonic Band, again, are in one of our in-house groups. They've got their four performances listed there. The holiday festival is always super popular, and they've got some really other fun and compelling themes that I think are going to be really wonderful this year. Fantasia sounds fabulous. Our in-house improv company does adult improv and the Monkey See, Monkey Do series, which is also for children and families. So there's dates are listed there. And then the adult performances are listed as well. And they run throughout the whole season. And then the next several pages is our Bay Area Children's Theater performances. The Bay Area Children's Theater is an educational program that we offer, but they also put on very, very high quality children's theater. So we do obviously have the kids that participate in the theater performances, and they put them on, and their families come and enjoy them. But we do get a fair amount of people that don't have children necessarily in the show, but bring their own kids to the show. So they've got a lot of great performances coming up. And the thing with Bay Area Children's Theater is we have a very good working relationship with them, and we are one, if not their biggest city that they operate in. So we are the city that typically they open new shows in. So new performances that they're going to be doing, new productions, they usually open them here first in San Ramon. The Community Chorus and Dancers, another one of our in-house groups, has their performances listed. They also have some fabulous themes, Les Mis. The Holiday Magic Show is always super popular, the Broadway, and their St. Patrick's Show. And then lastly is the Youth Symphony, and that again is one of our education programs. So this is the group of students that participate throughout the year in the Youth Symphony, and they put on performances as well.
Also, that's not on here is the San Ramon Resident Dance Company, Fountain of the Sun.
Yeah, I didn't have the Jats dates when I did this.
They have some postcards if anybody wants them.
Oh, good.
September 28th and 29th. That's a Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And then Will, I don't know if it's premature. What's the other one you were talking about the other night?
Oh, we'll have a concert benefiting the Arts Foundation at Dorothy Riley Performing Arts Center featuring Fleetwood Mask. And another band, so it'll be a double bill that night. I don't know if you've seen Fleetwood Mac, but they are a tribute band to Fleetwood Mac and do a really great job.
No. No, I never figured.
And they'll be at the Dory Valley Theater that evening.
Buddy told me the other day that his wife are going to go see Led Zepp again, and he goes to a Led Zeppelin tribute.
Really?
Yeah, wow.
Over.
Just a little extra.
We had a couple of tribute bands at our summer concert series, and they were super popular.
Yeah, they were
really very popular. Some of our biggest crowds were the tribute bands. Yeah.
Yeah. We have either the Majestic, the Journey band, or a Tom Petty tribute band that we have lined up.
Yeah. They were so good.
The Tom Petty band was a little Petty mix.
Okay, next is 7.2, Diablo Magazine Utility Box article.
This is just simply for you to see the, if you had a chance to look through it. This is in the latest edition, the August, I guess, edition of the Diablo Magazine. So it's a one-page article about the Utility Box project. So we've gotten a lot of fabulous publicity. I don't get Diablo Magazine.
No,
I'm not in their area.
And there was mention that There's a page two, and I couldn't.
No, this is it.
I couldn't make
that. I think
it.
This is it.
Yeah, no, the PDF that was taken from here, so that it was not concave, is two pages.
Oh, because there was mention in something that, you know, the committee was mentioned in the article, and
yeah, it's in there.
Must be in a really small print.
No, I'm surprised your committee is there.
Yeah, right, it's
there.
In the
it's in the first section.
It's in the very first section.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, before my
quote.
That's why you remember it.
It says, these creators, selected from a pool of 30 applicants by the San Ramon Arts Advisory Committee,
right there.
Drew inspiration from the city's chosen theme of celebrating the arts.
Are they all from
I got a copy of the PDF. It's a, you know, regular.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, this is just for you to see. So you can go online as well. The article is online, but this was just as a.
I have about 50 copies.
Oh.
Okay, there you go. You can buy the magazine or you can go online.
Kudos to whoever in the city got this.
All the kudos should go to Erica, who is spearheading the project, and she's the one that got a lot of publicity out there that got picked up by Diablo magazine, and subsequently we ended up with the article. Yeah, we're all very proud of her. She's very proud of herself. This was a fabulous project for her, and she's one of our kind of newer staff, younger staff. So this has been a really great feather in her cap. They are not all complete yet. Almost. We had put a kind of a deadline of or a goal of end of August for them to be completed. So we anticipate them meeting that deadline of end of August. And Erica will be here, so you can talk with her about the project and let her know your feelings about the project. She'll be bringing a full evaluation to the committee in October.
Okay, next up, 7.3, SRPA attendance.
That's your standard list of attendance at the performing arts centers for the month of July. Summer is kind of one of our lower months, still heavily impacted, typically this is one of our slower months before the school picks back up and starts all of their activities in August and September. So we had the Neil Diamond tribute was, I think, one of the larger things, and we had a rental of a 25th anniversary celebration was one of the larger activities. At the performing arts centers. So you'll see those numbers and a lot of those things pick up, and that list get a lot longer coming up in the fall.
Okay, moving on to upcoming events, September.
Again, your usual upcoming events list for the month of September. We have our art galleries listed here. We did just, if you had a chance to walk through check out the La Mirinda Arts Alliance, they have some really beautiful things. Feel free to go upstairs when you get an opportunity to take a look at those as well. We did swap out at the City Hall recently as well with the Colored Pencil Society. So the traveling exhibition that was at City Hall has left, and we have the Colored Pencil Society in through the end of September. We do have, as I said, some of our, as I mentioned in the list of activities going on at the Performing Arts Center, some of those are starting to ramp up. We have the family-friendly improv, which is the Monkey See, Monkey Do, coming up in August. We have the first community chorus concert coming up in September. Lady K is starting up again, Jumping at the Sun. As Donna mentioned, is coming up at the end of September. And then the San Ramon Library puts on, they usually do it every year. They did take a break for a period of time, but they put on a jazz series of performances that are actually held at the San Ramon Library. So their first one is coming up at the end of September. The other thing I'll point out coming up mid-September, September 16th, is an event that the city is putting on. It is our second year of doing this particular event. It's called Culture in the Community. And it's an day-long virtually celebration of 40 different, usually 40 to 50 different cultures are represented through food, through demonstrations, music, displays, costumes. So it's a real celebration of many of the cultures that are represented here in San Ramon and farther afield. We'll have food trucks here with a variety of food to purchase, entertainment on two stages inside the community center, outside at the amphitheater, a whole ton of children's activities, a passport program so they can go around to all different groups and different areas and get their passport stamped, and then they'll get free goodies and giveaways. We'll have a whole thing on different sports as well out in the field. Free, totally free to the public from 12 to 5 on the 16th. So that'll be held here September 16th. It's a Sunday. Yeah, completely free here at the community center.
Okay.
That's it.
And
that's
now,
kind of
any committee, commissioner, council member items? Committee
I'm sorry.
Have any?
I have one other thing. Apologies. I want to make sure and pass this out. We have as our new liaison from the teen committee, and alternate is listed as well. So as a result, we have a new roster to pass around for everyone to have a copy. There's also some flyers over there that we received from, I think it's the Harrington Gallery, if anyone would like to pick those up. Sorry, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Any committee members have any items mentioned?
Two doubles took second.
Losers.
What did you say? An organization I do a lot of work with, like the doubles are national championship service guests. So every year at this time, I announce whether they were in first or second.
Who made them?
Santa Clara Vanguard. First time in 20 years that they won, so cheers
good
to them.
Yeah.
And both of our B programs took first and second, so San Francisco Bay Area.
All right.
Last 2 years, we owned it.
More than just that. Mr. Daly, I think the spotlight is on you now.
All right. So at the commission, I was swearing in of the new teen council, commission of the community. We also had a encore presentation of the Art and Wind Festival. Went into a lot of detail. Our very own Marianne Simmons was there. Had a pretty long discussion about the upcoming community involvement with the master plan update for Parks and Community Services. And so there'll be an opportunity in August and September and October for participation in a lot of community-oriented input sessions for the master plan coming up. So there'll be some focus groups by invitation, and then there'll be some public meetings that will be open for all residents to attend. So the focus groups would be more for specific interest groups that have involvement in parks and community services, like the library and foundations and et cetera. And then the input will come from the community in more open sessions that will be available. So look for those. Those will be coming up in the September, October timeframe. And then we did have committee assignments that came out, and those stayed a status quo. And I believe that was about it that we covered some of the maintenance items and some of the things going on at the theater, but just more or less operational and maintenance items.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing else,
hold on. I'd like to, she's probably already on it as good as Erica's been, but suggested, was she the one who got in touch with Diablo magazine? Is that what it was, or somebody else?
I think they contacted us. It was due to the publicity that she had put out, but I think they, I'm not exactly sure which one, who on their staff saw it, but then they contacted us.
I think it would be nice to be in the East Bay Times. And, you know, they're always looking for little articles to put in that are community-based. Now that they changed the name from different communities, it's all under East Bay Times. I'm sure we can get in touch with them, and maybe she could, and have a little photo spread about it. So, food for thought.
We'll make sure and have her include that in the, because we are going to be sending out some additional information about the program with regards to the fact that we're going to be putting up soon a survey. We'll be putting out a survey and I'll let you all know the link and let you know when it's up, but it's going to be up and we're going to make it available widely to the public and try to encourage people to go to the website and participate in the survey, because we have received a variety of compliments and not so compliments on the program. So we want to give...
Not everyone loves soul.
No, not everyone, but we want to give everyone an opportunity to do that.
Get their names.
Yeah, so that'll be coming out shortly, because
four
then...
Four negative comments?
That's all right. They're do their say. And then
that means it's good art.
That'll all be included in that evaluation that she'll be bringing forward to you in October.
Yeah, that's good art.
But I'll let her know about that.
Yeah. Okay, if there's nothing else, we'll call this meeting adjourned at 8:02.
Wow.
Well, as I said, for those of you who were excited about this meeting being kind of short and